Welcome to another episode of Pastor Talk. It's me, Pastor Blake, and alongside me is Pastor Nathan. How you doing today, brother?
Oh, I'm doing well. Always good to be here in the service of our Lord and Savior.
Amen. Appreciate that. Hey, so we're just past Easter. Easter was amazing. The church was full. There was tons of excitement, a lot of new faces, a lot of old families. So we're excited to see what the Lord's got going on.
Broke that 1,000 people mark. Haven't done that since before COVID.
Yeah, that was awesome. So it kept us busy leading up to Easter. We've honestly been busy since January 1st with our fasting season, launching programs and ministries and activities and events and doing all the things that we do. And we sort of leave Easter and we took a day off and sort of refreshed, reset, and now this push towards summer. And something that's interesting, Nathan, I get this question a lot. Not sure how much you get this question, but two things people will often ask me if I'm out in the community or even people within in the church is one, am I full time? And the second question is, what exactly does a pastor do all week?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think they wonder that about me, but they ask you. And so they're hoping you can tell them what I do all week.
Yeah, I
and
think
what is it I'm
that's
actually
how it's translated.
Doing. Yeah, because I don't get that question a lot, but I do know and had remembered getting that question a lot before I was a senior pastor. I think there is this conception because there are so many smaller churches and smaller gatherings where there really is just a Sunday service, 40 to 50 people to manage and oversee. And you've got elders to help you with that, and then you've got some life groups for them to be split up into. And so with that, yeah, I could definitely see that being a part-time thing and having another job. Where LifePoint is at and where it has grown to, and even before I came out here, like I said, we were at 1,000 people a Sunday. And so that's about anywhere from 600 to 700 adults and 300 to 400 kids. And then that doesn't include any of the week-long services that we have going on. So when you have something that is ministering to that many people and you've got five pastors to manage and meet the needs of all of those people, you can see if you were to just break up 1,000 divided by five, that's 200 people per person. And now you're looking at 200 people per person who, are we staying connected with them? Do we know where they're at? If they've left, are they angry? Did we reach out and call? And it's tough to do a lot of that because that's just one aspect. On top of that, we're putting together programs like the mentorship program. We're putting together things like the Alpha course coming in the summer, like the LifePoint University courses, like the men's mentor, like the men's group you run on Sunday, the women's group that's run on Sundays and Thursdays. We are helping to find the leaders and coach and train those who are volunteering. Joe all week is working on the sets for worship and helping with our high school and junior high worship and training people. And that doesn't include any special events that we've got going on, or a Sunday night worship or a funeral or a wedding or an event that's being done here that needs someone to manage and oversee the AV. And I'm running out of breath and I haven't even covered. I haven't gotten into the business side of it, the fact that a church our size, you have a pretty significant amount of money coming in and money going out, being an incredibly wise steward of that, being accountable to that, and making sure that it is going to the places that God has put not just on your heart as a pastor, but the leadership, the elders, and then, of course, those who are giving. Is it going to places that we are then showing them the results of the giving, right? We can give to a million different charities and organizations, but one of our goals here at LifePoint is that we're giving to ones that we're connected to, that we could actually solve some of the problems that are there through financial giving, through sending mission teams, through fundraising. And so once you get into the business side of it, you've got the program side of it, you've got the Sunday planning side of it, you've got life group side of it, you've got the small groups and the classes, Sunday school classes side of it. And then on top of all that, you've just got the management of 1,000 people, because we have about 1,000 people who attend, 600 to 700 of them attend any given weekend, so there's always 200 to 300 who aren't there that weekend, but they'll be there the next weekend. And so you now have 1,000 adults who have marital issues, who have issues with substances, who are having mental health issues, who just lost somebody, who need guidance in their work and their job, who need spiritual guidance. I mean, I'm scratching the tip of the iceberg here of what it really is to be a pastor throughout the week in a church, in a congregation this size. So yeah, that question is an understandable question, because it's not like a business that you understand how it's being ran every single day. But the reason, at some point as a pastor, you've got to just sort of say, well, I'm done for the day, even though you know there's four or five people you didn't call, there's an article I didn't write for the newsletter that I needed to get done, there's studying for my sermon I should have been further along on. And so that is kind of a long-winded, without a break, explanation of what it looks like to be a pastor at LifePoint.
No, I love that response. And yeah, just here at LifePoint, we all as pastors have different roles and responsibilities. And
that's right.
And yeah, you probably don't get that question a lot, because people see you every Sunday on stage delivering, speaking of business, the product, right? Even though delivering a message is not a product. And so they understand, for you to be able to do that, you're prepping and preparing, and you're doing the things that you have to do. And so somebody like myself, they don't see me on stage, you know, every day, and they're genuinely just curious. But oftentimes I think about it this way. God created the world, right? He created the universe, and he put people in charge to take care of the welfare of this world, the people in this world. And so that's essentially our job, is to care for the welfare of people, because God created this world. He created every single person in it, and he desires to have a relationship with every single person. So technically our job is everything that goes into reaching those individuals, not only within our walls, but outside of these walls. So the tasks and responsibilities and things that we do on a daily basis are different every single day, and it keeps us busy. But it's oftentimes not something that people see, or it's tangible. Our efforts can be prayer, can be behind the scenes. It can look entirely different, essentially, when fulfilling our role. And so yeah, I love answering that question. I don't get offended by that question. I love my role as a pastor, you know.
Yeah, I agree. I absolutely love what I do. I have done full-time ministry and full-time job. I was doing 20 to 30 hours a week of ministry plus some, and I was running a company before I came on full-time into ministry. So I've done the dual duty there and done both of them working side by side. And one of the things that I see when you come fully on to ministry is a real faith and reliance now on the things of the Lord, that sometimes you just realize, my job will take care of this, my job will take care of my health care, my job is pretty sufficient and reliable, and it will take care of the finances that I have. My purpose in the world and what I'm doing, you know, I'm an engineer, I'm a carpenter, I'm a whatever it is, there's purpose there. And so when you come full-time ministry, all of a sudden to say I'm a pastor, it really is that shepherding role. I'm here to shepherd adults as a senior pastor. I'm here to shepherd the lives of adults. And so if I'm going to shepherd the lives of adults well, I have to make sure that my life is in order, my marriage is in order, my relationship with my kids is in order. And the best way to do that is prayer. And that's why we've got so much prayer instituted in our week here. I mean, Mondays we have an hour where it's just the pastors in the sanctuary praying. Before every service, early in the morning, we're in there praying for about anywhere from 10 minutes to 25 minutes before the services start on Sunday. We've got, we try to do once a month, the Tuesday walk around the neighborhood prayer. We've got prayer before our staff meeting on Tuesday mornings as well. We've got times of prayer that we'll set aside if we get calls or something comes in, and we'll just sit and pray. And I think that prayer life that is cultivated, and we've literally put it in our schedules, right? It's in our calendar. It's in our Outlook calendar. So when we ask you to do that, that's something that we realized we had to do that, because it would just always get skipped. And so it's in our schedule to spend time and pray. And I think that that little simple step helps us in the spiritual side of what we're doing to maintain what we're talking about. Let our walk follow what we're talking. And so that's a big deal, is that prayer life and that taking some significant time out for prayer together as pastors.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's crucial. That's important. And it's interesting when I'm having these conversations with people, it's like a light bulb goes off. They understand it. But a lot of times where these people are coming from is they ask these questions is because maybe they feel like they don't need a pastor, or they've never talked to a pastor, whether they attend on Sunday or not, or they don't attend a church at all. That's the spot that they're coming from is, well, I come to church, but I've never needed a pastor. And so I kind of put that back on them. It's like, well, why don't you need a pastor? Is it because you feel that you're just in a good spot? You feel that everything's fine or comfortable? God may show you something different. I mean, a good example is if I were to take a class on engineering or robotics or anything medical, nursing, I wouldn't go into that class and saying, hey, I don't need a teacher. Like, I would need a teacher to help guide me. Yeah, I could watch YouTube videos. I could talk to people to learn. But ultimately, I wouldn't find success. I wouldn't get to the place where I need to be without a teacher. Or players that come together on a team and say, hey, we don't need a coach. We'll figure this out on our own. That would go south in a hurry because there would be no one to guide them. And so you'd have people wanting different things to figure it out, and it wouldn't work. That's why a coach is so valuable. So same thing with the pastor. If you're wanting to learn more about God or grow in your spiritual walk, it would help to have someone guide you, to teach you, and to go to a pastor and say, hey, this is happening in my life. What's the play? Mm-hmm. You know, no pun intended with using the team analogy, but let's, like, what's the play? What's the spiritual play here? Yeah. Pastor, help guide me. But oftentimes people just, they attend church and then they just do life and try to figure it out on their own. And so, I think that's kind of the spot and the heart where they come from. But after kind of having that conversation, they're like, yeah, I get it. I see where you guys are busy and doing all the things that you do.
Yeah, no, you're spot on. The pastor's role in the community has changed, certainly, over the last 5-6 decades. It's really changed. And when you're in a larger church in a place that, we're stuck back in a mile in a neighborhood off a road with zero visibility from the public. And so the only place you're going to even know we exist is if you physically drive by us here in Copper Basin, because we've talked still to this day dozens of people who have no idea there's a church here and they live in Copper Basin. So living in Copper Basin doesn't mean you'll know we're here, even though we've had sandwich board signs up for 10 years out here and everything else. And so I wouldn't expect it to be this large, honestly, being where we're at. But the people have come. We've done a great job in letting people know through online and media such as that we're here. And so a lot of people come. And that's the other thing is, we don't really control who comes through those doors. Every Sunday, it's an act of faith that we start the coffee and turn all the lights on, and Joe's got a whole worship set prepped, and I've got a sermon prepped, and there's just this crazy act of faith that says people are going to show up today. Even though we had no reservations, we've got nobody who guaranteed they'll be here, and they come. And so when you look at something like that, that faith that it takes, and then you say, well, what do I need the pastor for? Any of the pastors, from the senior pastor, worship, men's, whatever. What do I need them for throughout the week, though? Like, I got what I needed from them there on Sunday, whether it was a class or I love the music or the teaching or whatever. Or my kids love this pastor. And it's a lot like the transmission specialist, right? You see those transmission shops, and if you've got a newer car, you're just like, how do those places stay in business? And you've had a new car for decades, and you've never needed a new transmission. Everything's been fine. And then one day your car gets old, you've stuck with it for a while, and now all of a sudden the transmission starts to go, and you're like, where are all those places? And those places become like, you know, like the angels singing and the light shining on it. And you're like, that's right. Thank goodness, I got to go there. But now usually when you go to a transmission shop, you've got, you know, $5,000 repair. And so a lot of times that's sort of how people see the church. I know it's there. I know what they do there. I just don't need it until they need it. And then you're showing up and you're desperate and you need it and you don't know where to start. And it's really hard to jump into somebody's life at that point and try to help pick up the pieces and say, okay, here's all the things you should do. And you've got to completely change your life around and your habits around and all of this. And then they sort of look at you like, well, that's crazy. I can't do all that. If you would have been here years ago, then slowly, step by step, taking these steps to this place and not had the transmission go bad. And so that's that daily walk. That's that weekly walk that we do as pastors, where we're walking with people, checking in with people, taking calls from people who want advice or need prayer or need help. And it's just that sort of being there over and over and over again for people that helps them maintain a healthy spiritual walk, so they don't get to that place of having a, hopefully, a major breakdown.
Yeah, maintenance. I love that analogy. Yeah, we do a lot of crisis counseling. We do a lot of crisis management in people's lives. And you're spot on. If someone's life is okay, if it's fine, they haven't experienced a tough loss, tragedy, hardship, anything like that, then it's like, yeah, I don't need a pastor, and like you said, until you mm-hmm. need one. But living that daily walk, allowing a pastor or leaders in the church, elders, to come alongside you and guide you will make for a more healthy spiritual life. And when those tragedies or the hardships or the losses come, you're better able to deal and manage that. And so,
and then one last thing I want to say,
yeah,
on this subject, before we have to let our throngs of listeners go,
I could do this forever.
Just so many people listening right now. We thank you so much for that. Actually, I'd like to take a moment and pause for station identification. Behringer Tools. This broadcast is brought to you by Behringer Tools. They supply everything from soup ladles to the nuts and bolts needed to assemble the Eiffel Tower. Behringer Tools will always be here for you. Okay, so one last thing I wanted to say about the pastors and our week is there's that thought, well, you know, a nurse or a doctor goes to school for years and they've got all this training from books and everything else. Well, what qualifies your pastors to do this? And the truth is, it's for most of the pastors here at LifePoint, it's the school of hard knocks. It's walking. It's years of experience. It's years of turning the other cheek. It's years of loving those who have cursed you out at times, literally and metaphorically. It is years of humbling yourself, of saying, I'm sorry, going against the flesh, and seeking resolution, seeking relationship over being right, or being in a spot where you can lord knowledge over people. It's just walking through life with them.
Yeah.
And one of the things that's so important to understand is that we are teaching these aspects. We aren't just, you know, whereas your doctor's not teaching you how to do open heart surgery when he's doing it, so next time you could do it yourself. We're teaching these character traits by walking them out and living them out.
That's right.
And so the church isn't just the five of us pastors and our 5-6 elders we have. That's not just the church. The church are these people who have been attending, who are connected in small groups, who've met with the pastors, have relationships with elders, and they now have covenant groups and accountability groups. They're the church. So if they're visiting you in the hospital, if they're showing up at your house and bringing you lunch when you have after surgery, the church has visited you. You only have that relationship because of the work that's been done Monday through Saturday behind the scenes by the pastors at the church. And I think oftentimes it's like, well, if a pastor doesn't do this, then the church hasn't visited me. And so many times I'll hear that and I look at their social media and I see throughout their whole week, 5 people visited them, every single one of them from our church here at LifePoint. Every one of them relationships that they had because they started attending and That's investing right. in LifePoint. So the church is visiting you. That is the church. And those people are loving and giving sacrificially because they are walking now out this path that Christ has called them to walk. And that's one of the most rewarding things is being a pastor, is getting to see people grow and mature, getting to see them step up and take on ministry, getting to see them lead where once they just sort of sat in the seats. And I think that's probably one of the most important things to walk away with from this conversation is you are the church. as pastors, there's so much we can do. I wish there was more I could do. I wish I was better at certain things, at home visits and calling people. I'm not. But just know that if we're not physically there, if no one from the church shows up, we've got a problem. We need to get our stuff together. We need to figure out where the ball was dropped and make sure we're better next time. But if the church is there and they're walking through it with you, then we're there, through that.
That's right. God is growing us spiritually. We can always improve. He's growing you guys spiritually, and we want you to know that we're working hard as pastors to serve the Lord, and we're working hard as pastors to serve you as a church. And this has been another episode of Pastor Talk alongside Pastor Nathan. This is Pastor Blake. We want to give another shout out to our sponsor,
yes,
Behringer Tools.
Right.
Neighbor grabbed your ladder, won't give it back. Pick up a Behringer ladder, swap yours out, and your neighbor will never borrow yours again, because the first rung of that ladder will break.
That's good.
And your neighbor will fall and break his ankle.
And that's a Behringer promise.
And that is a Behringer guarantee. Our ladders will break for your neighbor's sake.
Thanks for listening. See you guys.
Thanks, guys.